listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's mystery and intrigue with Arch Obler's Lights Out and A Strange and Wonderful Day. But first, on the lighter side, let's visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen. Gracie wasn't as dumb as she seemed on the air. In fact, early in her career with Burns, she played the straight part and George gave out with the funnies. But even a dummy could see that she was getting all the laughs. George Burns, no dummy himself, deciding that Gracie, with her natural sense of humor, should become the comedian. They were married in January of 1926, then returned to New York for a string of stage performances, opening at the Palace on a bill with Eddie Cantor and Georgie Jessel. Cantor, impressed with Gracie's wit, asked her to appear in his Sunday night NBC hour. So successful was she that she was invited, along with George, to appear on The Fleischman Hour with Rudy Valley. George and Gracie went to NBC as a Monday night team for Grape Nuts in 1937. By 38, they were among the best established performers on the air. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with George Burns and Gracie Allen and special guest star Gregory Peck from January of 1949. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so. Dio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest, Gregory Peck, and yours truly, Toby Reed, B. Benaderet, Paula Winslow, Dora Singleton, Harry Lubin and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and Bill Goodwin. Well, tonight we find Gracie and her friend Dorothy Demling in a movie theater gazing raptly at their favorite picture star, Gregory Peck.
Oh, look at him, Dorothy. Isn't he gorgeous? Oh, magnificent. That face. It's just a mouth and a nose and two eyes, but what an assembly job. Yeah. Why do people have to make that silly noise?
I don't know. It happens every time we come to a theater.
Yeah. Oh, look. Gregory Peck sees his wife coming up the walk. He's going to open the door for her. Oh, look at the way he strides across that room. Don't you love those beautiful long legs? Oh, yes. They're like two tall eucalyptus trees with pants on. What a sweet thought. Now he's opening the door. She's coming in. Darling, have you missed me?
Oh, yes, my beloved. Every minute has seemed like a year. My darling, you're cold. Here's something to warm you up.
Oh, he's kissing her.
And those silly scientists are fooling around with atomic heat.
What schnooks.
Yes. Those rude people. Come on, Dorothy, let's go home.
Oh, but the picture isn't over.
So what's the difference? It'll end the same way it did the other three times we saw it. Bring me home, Dorothy. It was a wonderful movie.
I'm sorry, our husbands didn't go with us.
Oh, me too. A little of that Gregory Peck might have rubbed off on them.
Oh, he was so sweet to his wife, always telling her how lovely she looked.
Mm-hmm. Did your husband ever tell you how you look, Dorothy?
Yes, the rat. Oh, I wonder what it'd be like to be married to Gregory Peck. I guess every woman in the country wonders that.
Yes. What a shame he is naughty, sure, so we could all find out.
I love that wonderful twinkle in his eye. Do George's eyes twinkle?
Only when the sun hits his bifocals. But don't get me wrong, Dorothy. I'd much rather have my George than Peck.
And I'd much rather have my William.
I'd rather have George than two Pecks.
I'd rather have William than three Pecks.
I'd rather have George than four Pecks.
We're talking about potatoes, of course.
No, Dorothy, I mean it. But I sure wish George would act a little more like Gregory Peck.
Yeah. Well, enough about tall, dark, and devastating. I gotta get home to short, pale, and irritating.
Good night, Dorothy. Maybe, see, I'm not being fair to George. Maybe he'd warm me with a kiss and hold my chair if I gave him a chance. Maybe when I walk in and say, "Darling, have you missed me?" he'll say, "Yes, my beloved. Each minute has seemed like a year, just like Gregory Peck." Well, here goes. Darling, have you missed me?
I didn't know you were gone.
Oh, yeah. I walked home from the movie and I'm cold. Would you give me something to warm me up?
Sure. Here's a match. Go light the furnace.
George?
Well?
There's a chair behind me.
Yeah, I see it.
I'd like to sit down.
Okay, squat.
Couldn't you hold the chair?
Why, it's not going anywhere.
Oh, George, you're hopeless. And look at you, sitting there in your undershirt and stocking feet.
What's wrong with that?
Gregory Peck would never let his wife see him in his stocking feet.
What does he do, sleep with his shoes on? Which reminds me, it's past my bedtime. Let's hit the hay.
Oh, hit the hay. How can you be so unromantic? I bet Gregory Peck would say it poetically and beautifully.
Okay, I'll be poetic. I desire to be transported to the arms of Morpheus.
Well, when you finally do get poetic, you think of another woman.
Let's hit the hay.
Why can't you be the kind of a husband Gregory Peck was in that picture tonight? He served his wife breakfast in bed. He worshipped the ground she walked on.
Look, Gracie, the ground she walked on was a movie set. Mr. Peck got paid thousands of dollars to worship it. He's an actor. That was in the script.
Well,
I had Max Factor's makeup, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure he's the same way at home. Generous and thoughtful.
Gregory Peck is just a nice, average guy. I know him well. I play golf with him.
I'll bet he's good.
No better than I am. Last time we played, we each shot a birdie.
No, I'll bet he took his home to his wife.
I ate mine myself with those pickles at Hillcrest. It was nice.
Gregory Peck is so sweet.
Oh, look, I'm tired of hearing about Gregory Peck. There must be something I can do that he can't do.
There is, darling. Blow your little horn.
Well, come on, let's go to bed.
So they went to bed, and Gracie had a marvelous dream.
Gracie, Gracie.
Yes, George?
Oh, here you are, Gracie. Why are you staring at me?
Well, you look so different, George. So cute.
I do?
Yes. In fact, better than you did when I married you. You are George, aren't you?
Well, of course. Look, darling, I brought you your breakfast in bed.
Are you sure you're George?
Well, yes, sweetheart. Now, here's a kiss.
Oh, George, have you got some identification on you?
Well, come Sylvia, Gracie. You've never been this way before.
Well, neither have you. Breakfast in bed. And what a breakfast. It's fit for a queen.
Well, it is for a queen. I lay these eggs at your feet.
Really?
After breakfast, I'll wash the dishes and you go shopping. Buy yourself dozens of those adorable hats that you like so well. Here's $500 to spend.
Is this really happening?
Well, of course. Do you want me to pinch you?
No. A kiss and $500 is enough for one day.
Well, it's a pleasure to do things for you, Gracie, my darling wife. You're so beautiful.
Oh, George.
So alluring.
Oh, George.
So young.
Oh, George.
So irresistible.
Oh, George. Oh, George. Oh, George.
Huh? What's your matter?
Oh, George.
What happened, Gracie?
I had a dream. A dream in which you looked and acted just like Gregory Peck. It was terrible.
It was?
Yes, it was so short.
Go to sleep.
Well, after a more or less sleepless night, George finally despaired of changing Gracie's attitude. So we find him now arriving at the home of Gregory Peck to seek his help.
Oh, come in, George. Come in.
Thanks, Gregory. Gregory, I've got a terrific problem with Gracie.
Really? What is it?
Well, she went to see a picture of yours last night, and your romantic husband who kissed your wife's hand and served her breakfast in bed. Now, Gracie thinks you do this in real life.
I do.
Since when?
Since my wife saw that picture.
Well, now Gracie wants me to be romantic, and I'm not the type. I'm not tall. I'm not dashing.
Tall, small. Remember this, George. Good things come in little packages. You're a little package.
Yeah.
Only you weren't tied so loose.
Well, since Gracie saw that picture, I've been miserable. What can I do with her?
Well, get tough with her. Every man should be the boss in his own home.
You're a fine one to talk, serving your wife breakfast in bed.
Oh, well, that's just for laughs. Any time I want to stop that, I'll just lay the law down to my wife.
Show me how you do that, Greg. Go ahead. Lay the law down to her right now.
I'd like to say... All right. I'll go in the library and do that. You stay here and listen.
Now listen, Greta. This foolishness of breakfast in bed must come to a stop immediately, understand?
What a man.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Peck. Didn't see you come into the room.
Where's Greg?
Oh, never mind turning on the tears. I'm master in this house, and my word is law.
What are you doing in there?
He's bawling you out. Listen.
From now on, you serve me breakfast in bed. Is that clear? Now, there. Get up off your knees. I didn't mean to frighten you.
What a ham.
Yes. I know I'm the finest husband in the world. Now, stop kissing my hand. Well, George, did you listen and learn?
I sure did. Look behind you.
Hello, dear.
Oh. Hello. Hello, Greta.
That was quite a performance you gave in there.
Did you like it? It's a scene from my new picture. Oh, by the way, dear, would you like some flowers on your tray in the morning?
Oh, I'll be having breakfast with Edith in the morning, remember? Her husband's out of town, and I'm spending the night with her.
Oh, yes. Well, would you like me to come over and serve your breakfast in bed there?
This kid is a tiger.
Well, that won't be necessary, Greg. I'll be leaving. Nice to have seen you again, Mr. Burns. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye, darling.
Boy, you really are polite to your wife. I'm glad Gracie isn't here.
Hey, George, that gives me an idea. Let's put on an act for Gracie. I'll get a big kick out of it.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll call the studio and get an actress to pose as my wife.
Then you and Gracie come over to dinner, and I'll be the meanest, orneriest, most slovenly, unromantic husband who ever lived.
Yeah, then she'll stop wanting me to be like you. Greg, you're a genius.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. You better back up a little.
Well, you're smarter than I am.
Didn't have to back up that far.
See you for dinner.
Listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Here's the idea, Margie. When the Burnses get here, you'll pretend to be my abused, downtrodden wife, okay?
Oh, sure, Mr. Peck. But why have you made yourself look so repulsive? Unshaven, old dirty sweatshirt, blue jeans, and bare feet. Why are you doing this?
Oh, George Burns is a friend of mine.
I see. You don't want to look better than he does.
No, that isn't it. I want Mrs. Burns to think I'm the world's worst husband.
Oh.
I hope this won't interfere with any plans you had, Margie.
Well, I had a date with Bill Goodwin, but he'll keep.
He should. He's fresh enough.
Oh, here's the room.
Now, you wait in the next room and come out when I call you.
All right.
Come in. Well, hello, George.
Hello, Greg. This is my wife.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Peck?
Oh, so this is Mrs. Burns. Well, bring the old battle axe here.
All right, come in, dear. You'll see how a real cultured husband acts at home.
Cultured? Look at the way he's dressed.
Yes, isn't he gay and casual? You in your blue suit, you look like an undertaker.
Well, this is great.
Mr. Peck, where did you get those adorable slacks?
Mrs. Burns, these are jeans.
Oh, isn't he sweet, George? He's breaking those pants in for a girl.
Look, Gracie. He's barefooted.
Oh, Mr. Peck, you're the perfect host. You took off your shoes so my husband wouldn't look like a runt.
Well, we're doing great. Where's your wife, Greg?
Margie, I'll call her. Hey, woman! Come in here, on the double.
Here I am, sir.
Oh, isn't he masterful?
Woman, is dinner on the table?
Yes, sir.
Okay, folks, chow's on.
Gracie, did you hear that? He said, chow's on.
Isn't he wonderful? I love men who can speak French.
Well, let's eat.
Well, pitch in. The food's free. Watch your head, George.
Watch my head?
There's a flower bowl behind you. I always blow my olive pits into it.
Okay.
Bombs away!
Oh, that was a beautiful shot, Mr. Peck. George, why did you take an interest in sports?
This is murder.
Bombs away! Gee, I can't get enough of these mashed potatoes.
Judge, why don't you be a gentleman and eat mashed potatoes like Mr. Peck does? With his fingers.
That's being a gentleman?
Well, of course. He does it so his wife won't have to wash the silver. You sit there with a fork. I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah, I'm a slob.
Bombs away!
Greg, can I speak to you alone a minute?
Sure.
Excuse us, Gracie.
All right.
Greg, it's not working.
I know. What does it take to make that wife of yours disgusted?
I don't know. She's got me.
Yeah. Yeah, even that didn't do it.
Should have talked faster.
Hey, George, I think I got it. I'll take Margie in the kitchen and pretend to beat her up. That'll convince Gracie I'm a heel.
Sounds great. Let's try it.
Margie, that was the lousiest meal I ever ate. Get out in the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Those potatoes had lumps, and now you're going to get yours.
Oh, no. No, please don't hit me with that chair.
There. Now, gather up your teeth. I want this kitchen floor kept neat. Well, that's that.
Mr. Peck, how could you do such a thing?
I believe in treating women like slaves.
You? A man who looks so much like Abraham Lincoln?
Still want me to be like Peck, Gracie?
No, I don't. And I refuse to stay in this house another minute and watch him mistreat poor Margie.
Good.
Bring our wraps, George. I'll meet you out in the car.
Hi, Gracie.
Bill Goodman, what are you doing here?
I came to pick up Margie.
Well, that's a good idea. I don't think she can get up alone.
Huh?
She's lying on the floor, out cold.
How do you like that? When she's on a date with me, she won't touch the stuff.
On a date with you? You date Marge?
Oh, sure. Two or three times a week.
But she belongs to Gregory Peck.
Oh, that's what he thinks. Margie's crazy about me.
Well, I'll never get used to Hollywood. This changes things. No wonder Gregory Peck beat her up. She deserved it.
What? He struck Margie? Why, I'll murder him.
But, Bill, he's got a perfect right.
So have I, and my left isn't bad either. I'll fracture
him. But, Bill...
You wait here, Gracie. I don't want you to see this horrible slaughter. Ah! There. There, you sit, you woman beater. Gracie told me how you slugged Margie.
Now, Bill...
Now, stand up, Peck. I'm going to divide you into quarts and pints.
Bill, you don't understand. Margie was taken apart.
So I heard, and now Peck's going to get taken apart. Let's step into the kitchen so I won't spoil the carpet. Come on, Peck. Stand up.
Okay.
Ooh. You didn't have to stand up that high. He's a big one, isn't he?
You should see him with the shoes on.
Well, Bill, you still want to step into the kitchen?
You bet I do. Let's step in there and make some Maxwell House coffee and talk to you. Come on, Margie, let's live.
Coming, Bill. Goodbye, Mr. Peck. Goodbye, Mr. Burns.
Bye.
Bill, is Margie leaving with you?
Oh, sure, Gracie. We're headed for Mulholland Drive, aren't we, baby?
You said it, Dimples.
Well, I'll see you later, Gracie.
Well, I was certainly unfair to Gregory Peck. His wife deserved the beating she got. I'll go in and apologize to him. Mr. Peck, I've changed my mind about you. You're wonderful, and I want George to be just like you.
But, Gracie, he beat up his wife.
Well, she deserved it, running around with Bill Goodwin. Do I run around with a man? No, I run around with you.
Thanks, kid.
George, let's have another conference in the next room.
Okay.
Excuse us, Gracie.
I knew I was right about Gregory. He's as pure as 6.5 feet of snow. Not nearly as cold.
I'm home, Greg. Edith's husband came back and... Oh, hello. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. George Burns. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Gregory Peck.
Another one?
What?
Well, one Mrs. Peck just left. Are you the night shift?
Are you trying to tell me there's been another Mrs. Peck in this house?
That's right. She chases after Bill Goodwin. Who do you chase after?
Mrs. Burns, I could use a little clarification.
Oh, now I know you're upset, but don't start drinking.
No, I mean, I'm very confused. What are you doing here?
Well, George and I had dinner with Mr. Peck and Peck's other wife.
You can't be serious about Gregory's two wives.
Yes, I am.
Good heavens, I have a blue beard.
Well, it doesn't show under your powder.
Gregory is the Bluebeard.
Oh.
Well, Mrs. Burns, George and I have just... Oh, hello, dear. You've come home.
Yes. How's everything in the harem?
Uh-oh.
Now, sweetheart...
We seem to have quite a few wives. Perhaps we should wear numbers on our backs. And have programs precious. Printed. You can't tell one wife from another without a program.
He isn't to blame, Mrs. Peck.
Oh, don't you lie for him, George Burns. I don't want you to have anything to do with a man who married two women.
Gracie, Gregory Peck wouldn't do a thing like that. He's a big name.
Yes, and if it wasn't a lady, I'd say what it was. Think, I wanted you to be like Gregory Peck.
Well, Gregory, I'm waiting for your explanation.
Honey, you know that mink coat that you've been wanting?
Yes.
Well, it's yours if you'll just forget this whole mess.
And consider it forgotten.
Well, gee, that was easy. Well, George, I'm waiting for your explanation.
Explanation of what?
Who cares as long as I get a mink coat?
George and Gracie will return in just a moment. Join us again next Thursday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin, Harry Lubin and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Toby Reed. And now, here are our stars.
Now, Gracie, I don't want to spend another night hearing about Gregory Peck, so go to sleep.
Yes, dear. He is handsome, isn't he?
Well, I guess I'll take my blanket and go to sleep on the couch.
Oh, darling, did I say something to hurt you? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Go to sleep.
Please forgive me.
Forget it.
Believe me, you've got something Gregory Peck hasn't got.
Okay, go to sleep.
Well, I can't now. I'll be awake all night trying to think what it is.
Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Gregory Peck will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox picture Yellow Sky and can be heard regularly on the Prudential Family Hour of the Stars. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler.
From January of 1949, it's been Burns and Allen with special guest star Gregory Peck. In a moment, Lights Out with Arch Obler and A Strange, Wonderful Day as Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Lights Out, radio's ultimate horror show, was first heard locally on Chicago station WENR as a late-night 1934 15-minute feature. The program was created by Willis Cooper, then a staffer at NBC's Chicago studios. In April of 1935, it opened Wednesdays on NBC Red. Tucked away in an after-midnight slot in its early days, the show offered imaginative plays so filled with sinister, throat-clutching sound effects that it created a sensation. Upon Cooper's departure for the West Coast in 1936, NBC brought in Arch Obler, a young playwright who had done some work for Rudy Valley. Lights Out really became Obler's show. From its first program in May of 36, Obler approached each program as a challenge. After 2 years of constantly trying to top himself, Obler quit and began his famous plays series. Lights Out continued for a year after Obler's departure. The show ran until August of 1939. In October of 1942, Obler returned to resurrect Lights Out from New York as a 30-minute Tuesday night show for CBS. That continued until 1943. The final series came to Mutual in July of 47. Then Lights Out made the transition to television in 1949, continuing until 1952. Unfortunately, the TV version never really achieved the popularity of the radio program. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Arch Obler's Lights Out and the case of A Strange, Wonderful Day from World War II, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Lights out, everybody.
This is Arch Obler. Yes, this tonight is not a play of horror. There is no terror in it, only wonder. For the day of which we speak was a strange, wonderful day.
Express to the observation roof. Going up.
In here, Ray.
Yes.
Face front, please.
Eve. Forget all about what's happening outside, newspapers and things. Don't let it spoil this.
Nothing can spoil being with you, Michael.
Sweet.
You can't hardly feel the elevator moving. It is moving, Michael.
Oh, sure. Look at the lights. 25th floor already.
Doesn't seem possible. Oh, my ears.
Yeah, mine too.
Because we're going so fast?
No, it's something about air pressure. You know, like getting on top of a mountain. Gee, look at those lights. We're at the 50th floor. At least they say so.
Oh, it's so scary. Wonderful.
Just think, 102 floors up in the air.
Not on this elevator, mister.
Huh?
You'll have to change the 80th, then at the 86th again.
Oh, thanks. Look, Eve, 70th floor already.
Of course, this is one of the longest elevator shafts in the world.
Yeah, I should think it is.
I bet they're fooling us.
Yeah.
I heard there's an extra paper out that the war's going
to... Please.
Huh?
If you don't mind, we don't want to talk about those things.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame you. Well, far as we go.
Where do we...
Next elevator, right over there, sir.
Thanks. Better hold on to my arm, Eve.
Yes. Why does everyone have to talk about the war all the time, Michael?
It's just the way it is, I guess.
Hold up.
Come ahead, Eve.
Watch your step, please.
Wonder how much you can see up there.
All New York, the guidebook says.
Far as we go.
You mean this is where we...
86th floor, mister. Take the elevator right over there for the observation room.
Oh, thanks. Come on, Eve.
Oh, but Michael, we no sooner got in than we got out.
6 floors higher. At least he says so. I guess this is the place where we get there.
Going up.
Come on, Eve. We'll never get closer to heaven.
Observation roof, next stop. 102nd floor.
And I used to think that I was getting up high when I climbed the apple tree.
Observation roof, 102nd floor.
Gosh, Express is right. All right, Eve, this is it.
Will the wind blow? Will it be all... Oh, Michael, it's all glassed in.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael, how wonderful.
Gosh.
Michael, come over here.
Huh?
Look, the ocean out there.
I can see the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And you didn't want to come up here.
It's like the world right under it.
Not scared a bit, are you?
Why should I be? It's just wonderful. Oh, look over here.
Hey, will you quit running around here like a doodle bug?
What's the bridge is over the river. Which one is that?
Oh, I don't know. Brooklyn or something.
Oh, so many buildings. I had no idea New York was so spread out. So many buildings. So wonderful.
Yeah, from up here.
What? What did you say, Michael?
I said it's all wonderful from up here. But get down there and... Well, I bet it's like one of those Hollywood... You know, glamour stars when she gets up in the morning.
Michael, what do you know about things like that?
Well, I know you're super colossal or something when you wake up.
Oh.
You are. Your eyelashes sort of flutter and then you stretch out just like a little pup dog.
Like a pup dog? Michael, is that romantic?
Oh, I don't know the words. I just know that I'm gladder every minute that you married me.
You married me?
Now, don't argue with your husband.
Husband?
Eve, lips are so soft.
Yours aren't.
Glad no one else is up here.
All right, Michael. $2.20 to make love to me or to see the sight.
I married a beautiful cash register.
Mr. Smith, will you let go of me?
Oh.
You're going to see me for 99 years, and maybe this is the last time we'll ever be able to get away from the farm and see New York this way, and we... Michael.
Huh?
Look over there.
Hey, how do you like that? Clouds.
Where did they come from?
Well, the usual place clouds come from, I suppose.
But so quickly.
Oh, we're up plenty high.
Look at them. They're coming right at us.
It's a strong wind, I guess.
Oh, Michael, this is so exciting. Up in the clouds.
Made the order for you and me. Uh-oh, rain.
Well, there goes the rest of our day.
Yeah, sure a good thing they got this place glassed in.
Oh!
Eve, it's only lightning.
Oh, no.
Oh, you've been in thunderstorms before.
Michael.
Eve, what is it?
The clouds. They're fighting.
Huh?
Look at them. Fighting each other.
Well, is that any reason to be afraid? Gosh, thunderclouds always sort of boil around.
Like armies. Fighting.
Eve, what kind of talk is that?
he's biting.
Why do you keep saying that?
I can't help it. I keep thinking...
Well, don't think. Remember, we said our honeymoon. We wouldn't think about anything but us.
But this is us. How can I be happy when all over the world...
All right. I will talk about it. I'll talk about it once and for all. Then you and I won't have to talk about it anymore. Gosh, I don't know anything about those things the newspapers are always talking about. Maybe I'm not so smart as the people who live in this town and all the other big towns when it comes to dodging taxicabs and throwing wisecracks. But I know this. I don't want to own everything I can get my hands on. And I know that it isn't right for some people to have too much and some people have too little. And I know that when I go to fight, I will fight. And it'll be for what I know is right, for the kind of world where all the little people have a chance, no matter what they look like or what their name is or what their blood is. Because I know that no matter what any little dictator says, people all over the world are just like you and me. All they want and all I want is happy work and someone they care about to work for and a little time left over in which just to enjoy being alive.
I love you, Michael.
Let's go down.
No, Just a minute more. Storm's breaking.
Yeah, I guess it is. First time in my life I ever talked like that.
You're very good, Michael.
I'm not bright, but good.
Michael, look.
Look at what?
You just can't see anything down there.
Yeah, air's full of mist, that's why.
See things? And yet you don't see them.
Let's go, huh?
All right.
Hold on to my arm. If it's still raining when we get down, we'll take a taxi back to the hotel.
All right.
I guess this is the button I pressed to get the elevator up here. Mm. Well, that ought to bring them up. Gosh, thunderstorms and everything. It's been some experience, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I sure jumped out of my skin when you screamed. I mean, when you saw those thunderclouds.
I didn't scream, Michael.
Well, you certainly did, kind of. I sure don't know much about women, I guess. I mean, you were afraid of the clouds, and then you weren't afraid of the thunder and lightning.
Clouds were horrible.
Oh. Hey, what's the matter with that elevator?
Ring again.
Well, that's all I've been doing.
Something must be wrong with it. The button.
Yeah. No answer. That's plain enough.
Well, don't be so impatient.
Oh, well, we certainly can't walk down.
They'll come up for us.
Gosh, my thumb's getting sore punching this thing. Something sure is out of order.
Maybe we had better walk down.
102 floors?
No. No, I mean just to the next landing where we can get the next elevator. See, a stairway.
Oh. Okay, I guess there's nothing else to do about it. Come on.
Don't walk so fast, dear.
Oh, what a life.
Oh, it isn't so bad walking downstairs.
You're swell. Here, take my arm. Down we go, Mrs. Smith. You know, elevators are all right, but me, I'll take the good old-fashioned horse.
Crazy.
Step 150, 51, 52,
56. Michael, look. That door says 86.
Hallelujah, we're here. Sure, a heavy door. All right, Eve, go through.
Yes.
There. Now we'll find out what was the matter. Elevators. Ah, there we are.
Doors are open.
Yeah. Gosh, where are the elevator men?
Maybe we just better wait.
Wait? I want to ride. Where are they?
Nobody in the hall.
Hey!
Michael, don't.
I've got to get someone to run the contraptions. Hey, elevator man!
No, they won't like it.
Gosh, I don't like being stuck up here. Hey, is there someone here to run these elevators?
No one.
Now what'll we do?
Well, the last elevator stopped at the 80th floor, didn't it?
You mean walk again?
I guess we'll have to.
Yeah. And what could have happened to him? Hey, isn't there anyone here? Hey, we want to get downstairs. Hey!
It's no use, dear.
Well, there's got to be somebody on this floor.
Well, don't get so excited, Michael.
Oh, gosh, there's 80 floors between us and the street. We can't walk all that way.
We'll have to.
Telephone.
Huh?
Yeah, telephone, that's it. I'll call the operator and tell her what's happened. Come on.
Michael, wait for me. Michael, you can't go in there.
Come on,
it's a private office.
Well, sure, but they won't mind if I... Say, can you beat that?
No one here.
Gone off with the elevator man, I'll bet you. Well, at least they left the telephone. Hope I can dial this thing right. Here it says operator.
Michael, they won't like it at all if they come back in here and find we walked right in without a...
Gosh.
What's the matter?
The telephone. Here, listen.
Sounds sort of dead.
Yeah, I'll say. Here, give it to me. I gotta get somebody. Hey, listen, operator. How about answering? Operator.
No use, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, is this a mess?
Have to walk down, I guess.
Where is everyone in this building? Gosh, you...
Michael, maybe there's been a fire.
Fire? Yeah, maybe...
Michael, quick, let's get to the stairway and get out of here. Quick, Michael. How far have we gone?
Oh, 5 or 6 floors, I guess. Hold tight to my arm. We have to walk.
The whole building can't be empty, Michael.
I tried every office on that floor, I tell you. There was no one. No one. Oh, gosh, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen.
It can't be a fire, Michael.
No. There's no smoke or anything.
But where is everyone? Michael, where?
I don't know. Honest, I don't know.
But, Michael...
Honey, I'm as tired trying to figure it out as I am walking down the whole blasted 102 floors. Floor after floor, offices all fixed up as if people were working in them, and no one there. I give up, I tell you.
Michael, the war.
Huh?
I mean the war news. Everybody ran out into the street.
Now, Eve, does that make sense? A whole skyscraper emptied out just to grab newspapers?
Michael?
About a war that's all the way over the ocean? Oh, that makes about as little sense as everything else. Well, this is it.
Are we?
So help me, the main floor. All out. Oh, gosh, my legs.
No, Michael, don't sit down. Hurry.
Hurry away.
Out of here in the street. Don't you want to know what's happened?
Well, yeah, sure. That door says to the street. Let's go.
Get away from me, Michael.
Sure glad to get out of this place. Come on, out we go.
Yes. Michael.
Gosh.
Oh, Michael.
It's all right, dear. It's all right.
Michael, what's happened?
Not a person in the streets.
There were so many.
Yeah.
Michael, listen.
I don't hear anything.
Listen.
The wind.
Yes, that's it. That's it, only the wind. Michael, don't you remember? Ever since we got to New York, all day yesterday, all night, all morning, the noise, Michael. Don't you remember the noise?
Yes,
And now nothing but the wind. What's happened? Why is it so quiet now? Where are the people? Michael, tell me.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Do you want a rest?
No. Just keep walking.
All right.
If we'd only meet one. Michael, if we'd only meet one person.
Eve, stop it. Of course we'll meet someone. We've got to. There's millions of people in this town. Millions, I tell you.
Not a living thing. Horse, dog.
There's an explanation, I tell you. There's an explanation for everything. Everyone's gone somewhere. That's all gone somewhere.
Where have they gone, Michael?
Careful, automobile.
Standing still, like all the rest.
Crazy people leave their cars standing right in the middle of the street. But they'll come back. They got to. Millions of people, I tell you. People, where are you? People. Hey, somebody, come out, Blaster. Come out, people.
No.
People, can't you
no,
hear
please,
me?
Please, Michael, stop.
You.
You're frightened.
People, where are you?
Empty streets.
People,
stop
can't
yelling
you come out?
Michael.
People, where
Michael,
are you?
Stop.
People. Chloe.
Hold me.
What's happened to us?
What?
No. No, I gotta stop asking questions. I gotta keep going. I gotta find someone. They'll tell us. Eve. What? Tremble. What is it, Eve?
Michael. I just thought.
Thought what?
All these empty streets. Michael, listen to me. What if there is no one else?
Huh?
What if you and I are the only ones left? Michael?
Yes?
I can't walk another step.
All right, we'll rest.
Where?
Anywhere. It doesn't matter much, does it? All New York's ours. You ought to know that by now.
No, don't.
Look, you know where we are?
No.
Broadway. Times Square. Well, I give you Times Square. It's all yours. Wedding present.
Michael,
yeah, yours. Shops and big signs and all the taxi cabs and buses and cars standing around. Please. Yours, Eve. Yours to have or to lose or burn up.
Michael,
or...
please.
I'm sorry, honey. Guess I'm a little goofy. Let's keep going, huh?
All right. Tired?
Yeah.
It's going to get dark soon.
Yeah.
Will there be light?
Nope.
How do you know?
I tried the light switches all along the way.
I won't be afraid in the dark.
Well, I guess that's one advantage we've got coming from the country.
There'll be people there, won't there?
I don't think so.
Why do you say that?
Well, when we went to that store before, there were radio sets, battery ones. I tried them when you weren't looking. There was nothing on the air.
What does that mean?
It means what you said before. Maybe it's true.
We're the only...
Yeah.
Somehow I'm not as frightened as I was.
Me neither. My head... I'm just all mixed up, that's all. They left the doors open and the automobiles right in the middle of the street, and everything's just as if they stopped right in the middle of what they were doing. But why? Why? That word's got me dizzy, chasing around in my head.
Michael.
Millions of people. Where have they disappeared to? If we only had some idea, any idea.
Michael.
What's the matter? Why are you...
That newspaper. Right at your feet.
Huh?
Pick it up. The headline.
War fury rages. Armies march in Europe. Well?
The headline.
Well, what of it? The same one as this morning.
Couldn't that be the answer?
Answer to what? What are you talking about?
Why, they disappeared.
Eve, get hold of yourself. What's a war thousands of miles away got to do with this?
Maybe it's the same over there.
People gone?
Yes.
Let's keep going. No, the curb. Let's sit here.
All right.
Now, you gotta tell me what you started to say.
Don't laugh at me when I say it, Michael.
Just tell me.
Maybe God got tired of it.
What?
He's been so patient, waiting all these years for people to learn how to live on the earth. So today, well, he just got tired and took everybody away.
Eve.
Michael, don't look at me like that. Is what I said any more crazy than what's happened? Look, this street should be like daylight with electric signs. There should be so many people around us and automobiles coming and going and streetcars and a whole city living. But there's nothing. Michael... Who else could have taken them away? Why can't it be true? He got so tired of the horrible mess they were making of things that he took them away. Yes, that's it, he took...
No, stop it. No, it's crazy talk. I won't listen.
Crazy because we don't understand.
It's impossible, I tell you.
Why is it impossible? Michael, I don't know very much, but I know this. I've been thinking about it all the time we've been walking. Call the way people got here on Earth any name you want. But no matter how you say it, when you really think about it, it's all a miracle. Things joining in the empty air and growing, burning and cooling. The animals growing out of things that couldn't move. The animals changing for millions of years until there were men. I tell you, it's all crazy and impossible, and yet someone made it happen. So why not this? Yes, if he made men, why couldn't he get tired of the way they were doing things and destroy them?
I can't believe it's you talking.
Michael, I think I'm saying the truth. Someone made mankind, and that someone just destroyed them.
Then what are we doing here? We're flesh and blood like the rest.
Maybe he just forgot us. Or maybe...
What?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Tell me.
Maybe you and I...
Well?
Maybe he wanted just a couple of people to start over with.
You say crazy things, and then you say crazier words.
Well, what if it's true, Michael? Think, what if it's true? The things you set up on the roof during the storm, those good things. Maybe he heard them and liked them.
Getting so dark.
Maybe he heard them and liked them.
I'm awfully tired. Let's find a place to sleep.
All right.
I'll help you.
Where'll we go?
Any place. We can go any place now.
Yes. Let's hurry. It'll be terrible on the streets when it's very dark.
Yes.
No, wait, Michael.
Huh?
Why should we hurry and be afraid? Who can harm us now?
You're right. All the harm is out of the city now.
Michael, you don't quite believe all the things I said before. But tomorrow when the sun is shining again and we really know that this happened and isn't kind of a dream, you'll believe then, won't you, Michael?
Maybe.
You're thinking something. Tell me what.
Well, if what you think did happen, maybe he left a few more people like us at different places on the earth. I mean, plain ordinary people to join together and make a new world. We'll have to help run things.
Michael, yes.
But Eve, we don't know anything about running a world, you and I. We're just you and me. How can we do better than they did? The millions of them.
Maybe by remembering something they sort of forgot.
What?
It's just to do unto others as they should do unto you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Linda Darnell. I speak to you now while your hearts and minds are full of tonight's play, because what I'm about to say to you is close to what you've been hearing. The victories a few days ago sang in the headlines, but today's headlines speak in a deeper voice of reality, a voice which says,
more of our men must die before this war is won.
If that realistic thought is unpleasant, you and I can do something about it. We can give our men all of the finest war equipment possible, when they need it, at the time they need it. And the time has come now because the attack is now. It's hard to conceive, isn't it, of any decent human being wanting to make profit out of this war. So, if there's extra money in your pay envelope, spend it in the only manner that will enable you to face the future with a clear conscience. Put those dollars into war bonds. Back the attack now with your dollars. And when that final victory does come, a part of it will be yours.
Thank you, Linda Darnell. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of ironized yeast were happy to devote their entire commercial time on tonight's program to the third war loan drive. Mr. Obler?
Well, first, a word of thanks to Linda Darnell and, of course, to Mercedes McCambridge and Byron Kane for tonight's beautiful performances.
Thank you.
From World War II, it's been Art Chobler's Lights Out with A Strange Wonderful Day. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this edition of Yesteryear, but why not join us again next week at the same time and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.
KSSR DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.